Well, I'd like to write the subject on the board this morning.
Subject is the Passover lamb.
I feel a lot like the little boy that came to Jesus and just had a few loaves and fishes to offer. I don't have a lot to offer in of myself at all today. I don't ever. But I am trusting that the Lord will give the increase. So I desire an interest in your prayers today. Desire your attention as we read the Word of the Lord. I have a very consequential account to read this morning that I believe that the Lord wants us to be able to internalize, be able to really understand what it is that is written, the commands that He gave, the direction that He gave, that it might help us today to deliver us from the bondage of sin and eternal death. And that is the story of the Passover, the original Passover. The story of the Passover was a type and shadow, and a type and shadow is a representation of something larger than itself. If I can say it that way. A type represents a type of something else. A shadow is an outline of something that is more. And so, in the Scriptures, under the inspiration of God and the Holy Spirit, the writers of old and the things that happened, actual events that happened, were types and shadows of things that were to come that had even larger ramifications than the thing itself. And some of the things themselves were not small in nature. And that certainly applied to the Passover. So I'd like to look at that this morning. You recall the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And they were unable to secure freedom by themselves. They didn't have what it took to be able to escape the bondage of Egypt. But God was at work. And if you recall, the Lord began to send all the different plagues into the land of Egypt and upon the hardened heart of Pharaoh. This last event that we will endeavor this morning by the help of the Lord to read about and to discuss was the event that led to the children of Israel being freed from Pharaoh's hand. So let's go ahead and read. I'd like to read several verses here in the 12th chapter of Exodus. And I will say this up front. I don't believe we're going to get through all of this morning. We'll probably have two or three messages, Lord willing, on this. I feel very burdened about this subject, about the importance of it. And so I would just once again ask this morning that as we read this account, that you would draw your minds in and not just wait until the reading of the verses is passed to then see whatever's going to be said, but listen to this account because there is so much gospel that is preached in this account in the 12th chapter of Exodus. The Scripture says in the third verse, "Speak ye unto all the congregations of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Every house had a lamb. Every person that desired to be free from the bondage of Egypt, every single house, every person had access to a lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall make keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, all head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Don't leave anything out. You're going to have to consume all of it. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We'll skip down to the 22nd verse. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. Hyssop was a wild shrub. And he said, you take some of the twigs, some of the branches, take a bunch of this hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And get this, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. You're supposed to stay in the house. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. We'll skip to verse 29. And it came to pass, just like the Lord said, at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Like I said, there is a lot of message. There is a lot of gospel that is preached in these verses, much more than what I will be able to get to, but it is a stirring account of the power and the sovereignty of God, demonstrating both His love and His judgment. An unchanging, an uncompromising God, a God of His Word. And he was very specific. Did you notice how specific he was in this passage? He was very specific about how and where the blood was to be used. He was very specific about how the lamb was to be partaken of. Very specific in this account. And folks, this morning, God is very specific. He cares very much that His plan be carried out in my life and in your life in a very specific, purposeful way. I don't intend to explore all the types and shadows of what we've read. There's too many of them right now for us to get into, but I want to make mention of a couple of points before we get into the meat of the message. And the first one is that the Lord was intent on saving His people. The Lord was intent on delivering His people from the bondage that they were in, and He was bringing deliverance to them through the shed blood of a lamb. And that lamb was looking forward to the time that Jesus Christ would come and be our atonement. He was the lamb that was going to be slain that would then deliver us from the bondage of sin and from death. The other point I'd like to make is that the Lord made available, as we read, a lamb to every person who desired deliverance from the bondage that they were in Egypt. Thank the Lord. The Lord has made a way for the shed blood of Jesus Christ to apply to every single person that will. The Lord didn't say, well, there are certain people among you that I'm not real happy with the way they have lived their lives. They will not be able to have a lamb with blood upon their doorpost. But the rest of you folks, if you'll put the blood there, then you will be saved from death. No, a lamb was made available for every single person, every single household that desired to be freed and delivered and saved from the bondage of Egypt, which is a type and shadow of the bondage of sin that is rampant in our world today. No one's left out. Thank the Lord. The Scripture said in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ coming, you remember what he said? He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'd like to now notice four things that maybe we'll spend our time and our focus on today, and Lord willing, maybe in another couple of services, that were vital to achieving the freedom from the bondage of Egypt and for us, the bondage of sin and eternal death. I don't want sin to result in my death. I want to be saved. And the Lord, way back at this time, began to outline how we, today, in this day and age, could find freedom from the bondage of sin. The first thing that I'd like to note was that the blood was to frame the entrance. And maybe we'll just write these on the board. The blood was to frame the entrance of the house. Number two, we read that they were to remain inside. When the blood was applied in the house that was to be the house of their salvation, they were to stay inside the house while the Lord did His work. Remain inside. They were to eat the lamb entirely. Consume the lamb entirely.
and they were to eat with haste.
I feel like this morning that this, the Word of God, is beginning to paint a picture for us on what the Lord expects in our lives today. And I want to make sure we get a hold of it as best as we can. Let's notice this first item. The blood was to frame the entrance, and we'll read verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it.
Maybe we'll draw a little representation of that. So the instruction was that they were to apply the blood to the side posts of the door, and that they would be entered into the house
and stay there. Folks, the only way we are going to be saved today, the only way, is to enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John and the 9th verse, He said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. We are only going to be saved if we pass through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not going to be saved. We cannot be saved by being on a church roll book that somebody else keeps. We are not going to be saved by giving a certain amount of tithe to the church that we attend. We aren't going to be saved by a church council that looks at our lives and evaluates where we are and makes a decision that, okay, you can be saved. We are not going to be able to be saved by any of those things, but only if we pass through the door that is Jesus Christ, if we pass through the blood that has been shed for us. It is only by faith in the unmerited favor of Jesus Christ that has been given to us through the shed blood of Jesus that we will be saved. May God help us to not get in the place as Christians, as people who are endeavoring to do right. And yes, we observe things in life where we're careful about, behold, what carefulness ought we to walk. But if we're not careful, the enemy can get us in a place where we begin to look at those things for our salvation. We cannot be saved by our works. We aren't going to be saved by qualifying, by finishing our heat in a certain amount of time relative to everyone else that's running the race. We are only going to be saved by the faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot earn our salvation. But I do want to recognize this morning that we can put ourselves in a place outside of where the blood has been applied. And if we choose to do that, then we will find ourselves outside of the place of refuge that the Lord has set up for us to be saved. And maybe we'll get to a little bit more about that later. Also want to look and see that the blood was applied to the outside of the door. And let's read the scripture where it outlined that. It was visible to all that might pass by. In the 13th verse it said, And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. So we find here that that the blood was put on the outside of the door, and it said, will be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. A token is something that serves as a visible or a tangible representation of a fact, of a condition. And we find here that this was an open manifestation. It was a token, not just for the death angel that passed over and saw the blood. I have an idea that the death angel that passed over knew what was going on at this house, didn't have to visually lay eyes on the blood. But what he did want to do was visually lay eyes on the fact that the people were obedient to the word of God exactly like it had been said. And when they put the blood on the outside of the door, it was also visible to every single person that passed by that day that the people within this house were being obedient to the word of the Lord. Folks, the Lord today wants us to have His blood applied in such a way in our lives that we are willing to confess before men that all who would pass before our lives, every person that comes in contact with us and begins to see something of our lives, that we are confessing that we are children of the Most High God. The Scripture tells us that we must confess God, if we want the Lord to, if we want ourselves to be confessed before the Father which is in heaven. The Lord doesn't want us to serve Him in secret. The Lord is not looking for us to be a secret witness in a secret witness program. The Lord is looking for us to be lights to the world. We heard a verse, one of the girls had a verse this morning that said, ye are the light of the world. And the Scripture goes on to say that men, they don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. But they take the candle and they light it and they go put it on a candlestick that all that are in the house may see it. This was Jesus Christ's exhortation to us in the Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter of Matthew. And then He said, let your light so shine. Whose light is He talking about? My light? Your neighbor's light? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works so that they may glorify you? No. That they may see your good works in a way that causes them to glorify their Father which is in heaven. Not let our light shine in a way that people look at us and immediately think that we're trying to shine light to cast a reflection on ourselves, but to live in such a way that our lives shine forth the attributes of Jesus Christ. Right before He said that, the Lord had just outlined the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When the world sees us living in that way, it has a direct effect on them. They begin to see something that comes out of our lives that is manifesting that we are living a life that reflects Jesus Christ. There's a problem if we are looking to be saved and then do it in secret and not want anybody to see, nobody's able to notice. Folks, we've talked before about people that come in and they say, well, I don't see it. I just don't understand. And sometimes people do not see righteousness. They don't see truth because they don't want to. And they become deceived. And there is a veil that is put over their eyes of spiritual understanding because they want to live their own way. They want to walk how they want to walk. And therefore, their eyes are dimmed and they can't see truth. But how sad it would be if people with honest hearts, people that are looking to see Jesus Christ, were to come in among us and sit among us. And then their testimony would be, we just don't see Jesus. We came to see Jesus. We came to see truth. We came to see righteousness. We came in search for that which would deliver us from the bondage of sin. But when we passed by, when we went by the house that professed to be the church of God, we didn't see anything. May God help us today to get a hold of an experience where we have a light that shines out to the lost world around us that is in need of salvation, that is in bondage to sin, that is in bondage to that which will eventually lead to eternal death. People that are without hope, people that are lost, people that don't have purpose in life, and they're wondering, is there anything out there that is meaningful? I want to be a light to the world. I want to have an experience with God, an experience of salvation, that when the blood is applied to my life, that it's done in such a way that whoever passes by, that it will be a token, it will be an open manifestation of my obedience to God, and that the works of my life will shine in such a way that it causes people to look up and to see Jesus Christ. May God help each one of us this morning. Okay, what else stands out about how the Lord specified the blood be applied to the door frame? The seventh verse said, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house. Did you note that he didn't have the blood sprinkled down here where they walked into the house? Did you know that God does not want us to walk over the top of His blood? He doesn't want us to trample over it. He doesn't want us to disrespect it. He set it up where the blood was applied on the door frame in a way that it could be cleanly passed through and that we could continue to live clean lives without sin. I feel like today that too many times people are willing to trample over the grace of God. We're too willing to be too casual sometimes about the blood that was shed. Listen this morning. The blood is precious. The blood is sacred. The blood is holy. The blood was spilled at great cost. May God help us that we not treat it casually. I don't want to live my life where it's like, oh well, sin you will, sin you must. I guess I'm just a human. That's just what I'm going to do. Thank the Lord for the blood. He shed His blood. That'll cover me. And I just walk over the top of it and track it around in places, try to track it in places that God never intended for it to be. The blood is sacred. Is holy. Do you remember we talked about when Moses began to approach the burning bush and as he got closer to figure out what was going on, the voice of God came out and said, stop, don't come any further. You need to take off your sandals, take off your shoes, put your shoes to the side, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Listen, today the Lord does not want us to put our shoes on. I think about that as our own way. We strap on our own way. We walk in our own path. We go where we want to go and then walk right through the blood. God told Moses, you need to take off your way. You need to take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. You need to respect. You need to hold in high esteem, in high regard, the blood that was shed on the cross. May God help us have that kind of respect for the blood. I was struck this past week with a verse that was in Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 28th verse. It said, he that despised Moses' law, those that did not have respect for the law of Moses, it said they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. But now listen to what the writer of Hebrews said next. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye Shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? I believe it was Paul in the 6th chapter of Romans, maybe the first verse. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin any longer? May God help us to not live our lives where we approach the grace of God, where we approach the mercy of God, where we approach His blood with a casualness, where we just presume upon the grace of God. Oh, well, Jesus Christ died. And we began to presume upon the grace of God. There, it is rampant in the Christian world around us. Well, we're humans. We're just going to sin. We're going to be in bondage to sin from the standpoint that we're going to continue to live in sin. But thank the Lord for His shed blood that we can be forgiven. And then casually and carelessly live their lives, just figuring that the blood will just come whenever it's needed. I just walk wherever I want to walk. I do whatever I want to do, and the blood will just cover me. Folks, this morning, the blood is a precious thing. And the blood was not applied down here on the threshold to be walked over the top of, to be trampled on. But the blood was applied in the entrance of the door into the house of their salvation, that they might then begin to partake of the Lamb, which pointed forward to the Lamb of God who died and shed His blood for our sins, that we might be saved and then become disciples of Jesus Christ, continue to live as He would have us to live. We'll get to this one, but He said to consume the Lamb entirely. The Lord wants us to partake of the Word of God wholly and completely, not pieces and parts, but that we would enter through the blood of Jesus Christ into the church of God, into the house of God, into the city of our refuge, into a place where we would then begin to be followers of God in a way that the Lord has outlined. I want to be careful with my life this morning. Maybe we won't go any further today, but I'd like to close in the 2nd chapter of Hebrews. The 2nd chapter of Hebrews and the 1st verse says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it is, and if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, a reward, and it will, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of a salvation? I don't want to be careless with the grace of God. I don't want to handle or treat His mercy as something trite. I want to daily view His blood as something precious, something valuable, something costly that was shed. And I want to pay particular attention to the responsibility that God has given me to live according to His Word, just like He specified. If they would have left out any one of these things, if they didn't put the blood to frame the entrance, if they didn't remain inside of where the blood was applied, if they didn't consume the Lamb and tithes, if I don't like that piece, I like this, that ought to be good enough. If they decided that they were going to do it tomorrow, they would have been lost. Folks, this is real. God's coming back. He may come back today. You say, well, we've heard that for a lot of years. He is coming back today for some people that are completely, totally unaware. Therefore, we ought to take the more earnest heed to these things that we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Oh, this morning, I am so thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to shed His blood for me. I am so thankful that He was willing to pay a price that I could not pay, that I might be able to be part of the church of God, that I might be able to have my sins covered by His blood, that I might be received by Him in peace. Today, let us come before the Lord with humility. Let's come before Him with a heart, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? I want to be true. I want to be faithful. Amen.